So yeah, so just before I dive on into the Word of God, I want to talk about hire for a minute, because the actual conversation that me and Alistair started having was hire is coming back. Hire is coming back to Manchester. For those of you that don't know, hire, it was the start about 18 months ago of the largest youth mission for a generation. We felt like God was speaking to us as the message about the state of youth culture, about the state of where young people are at, and the fact that we had to go and do something about it, and it was something of scale, and it was something of significance. So about a year and a half ago, we went into 55 high schools. We were in front of 35,000 young people. We had about 6,500 young people turn up at the O2 Apollo, where bands like Vital Signs, Brightline, 1224, LZ7 just put on a phenomenal, 1224, they just put on a phenomenal show of creative, innovative, prophetic, Holy Spirit-laced songs and creative art that culminated in a moment where the gospel was preached in the clearest and unashamedly terms that young people could understand, and they were given a chance to respond. And we saw about 2,500 young people through the course of that give their lives to Jesus and say they wanted to respond to the gospel. I think that's worth a round of applause. But the thing is, though, God doesn't just do one thing with you, does he? He wants to do lots with you. And as message, we also, you might have picked up, we are passionate, we're faith-filled, we believe in the Bible, we believe that Jesus is the only person that makes a difference, but we don't think we are a church. We are part of the church. We're part of the wider church. We are not a church. And that is so important you understand. As we talk big vision, as we talk big structures, as we talk about reaching nations, as we try and plow millions of pounds into reaching the hardest to reach and designing people like Vital Signs, who are deliberately set up to speak to people that find that more like worship than what we've just been singing about. There are people out there that find that what we've just done as peculiar as some of you guys found Vital Signs. And I did that deliberately, because I got to choose who performed. And I wanted you just to get that juxtaposition, because sometimes we're called to set up specialist beachheads into some of the hardest to reach and the most difficult areas. And it's got to sound like that culture so the gospel can get communicated. But we don't want to be there on our own. We want to be there with the church, with a church, with many churches, people that can disciple, follow up. We believe in partnership. Partnership is the only way it's going to get done. This isn't our mission. Hire isn't our mission. It's a giveaway. Eden's a giveaway. Prison work is a giveaway. We want partners. We want to believe together as we come with our passion and what God is saying. Say, come on, church. Come on. We can do this. The gospel is still real. The gospel still works. Jesus is the only answer. But we've got to figure it out. We've got to learn how to do that well. So I'm going to show you a video from Hire last time. I'm going to show you what happened. You're going to see schools work. So you're going to see bands going into schools, turning entire school communities upside down. Can you also find on your seats these two bits of paper? You've got something that says Hire, the large youth mission for a generation. And you've also got the flyer for the next events coming up. Because what we're going to do is we're going to jump straight on. And we want to tell you all that God did, all that he's going to do in the next couple of months. And then I believe what he's going to do through us as a church, and what it's going to do through us as we partner together. So, check out the video from Hire Manchester last year. Here's the great news. Jesus started a revival, turned the whole world upside down. He didn't have a video, he didn't have a PowerPoint, he didn't have any of this, so we don't need him. Praise Jesus. But we do need it to reach youth culture. So, So Vital Signs, Marv, do you want to jump up, mate? So Marv was on the tour with Vital Signs, and Marv's just going to tell us a little bit of a story about what happened when they went into one of the schools through Manchester. Over to you, mate.
Hi again. Hi. I've got a bit of a croaky voice, kind of annoying, but so basically, you know, God reigns, doesn't he? We believe that, and he's sovereign over everything. And, you know, I just think it's so powerful even for us to gather like this and worship God. I just think it's amazing. That always blows my mind. But anyway, so as you know, we experience human emotions, don't we, even as Christians. One particular day, Nick and I were due to go into a school, to a Catholic school, and what we do during that time when we're traveling is we talk about any issues that we've got going on, any personal issues, because we have to get into game mode. But let's be real, sometimes we don't feel like it. That's the time where we pray and we give it to God. But God works in our weakness. Like, God's strength works in our weakness. And actually, a lot of the times it's us just showing up, and it's always confirmed that God just uses us when we make ourselves available, and actually the Holy Spirit takes over. So this was one of those days, and we're having a bit of a moan and this and that kind of thing. And something I always say is that it's faith over feelings. So it doesn't matter how we feel, because even if our circumstances change, God doesn't change. You know, God still loves us and God's still fighting on our behalf. And we're like, okay, we've got a job to do. So anyway, we've gone to this school. Usually in schools, you can't openly preach. You've got to be, it's quite political. You've got to say, I believe this, I believe that. This is what the Bible says. This school today, for whatever reason, were like, oh no, you can preach. It's fine. You can offer a response. You can invite people to surrender their lives to Jesus. And we were like, this is crazy. We've never been in this position before. Okay, we're going to use this opportunity. We did 5 lessons. And it was amazing because we offered, at the end of each session, we offered a response. We gave people, young people, the opportunity to respond to the gospel and surrender their life to Jesus. And there were over 430 young people that day that surrendered their life to Jesus. And you know what's powerful about this is what Nick and I are always like, do you know this is what you're getting yourself in for? This is what you're doing. So we remind them, we're like, actually, if you don't want to do this and you don't want to be all in, you don't want to surrender your life to Jesus, then you can sit down or you can put your hand down. And they were all like, no, we want to do this. And you know what I've recognized with young people, regardless of how hard to reach they may be, or because we get a lot of the ones that will throw tables at teachers and stuff like that, because we go after the hardest to reach. They don't like to be lied to. They want to know the truth. And what is the truth? It's Jesus. Young people want to know the truth. And what I found is that when young people's hearts are pierced with the truth, they will surrender their life to Jesus, because they've been lied to by the world for so long, where they're in a position where they're like, I've believed a lie for so long, I want to know the truth, and this is it. So hire for me is so important, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've got youth work experience because I used to work for the council. I used to work with high-risk young people, the ones that would go missing, that are victims of child sex exploitation and stuff like that. And the devil is trying to destroy their lives. So we have a mission to go out into schools as part of hire and say, this is the truth, and actually your identity is in Christ. The devil can rob you no longer once you understand your authority and identity in Christ. And it's amazing what we see. And this is why hire is so important. Also, lastly, Jesus calls us to go. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And do you know what? We are the church. The church is the building, yeah, but we are the church. And sometimes some of these young people, the majority of them, especially the ones that we see, aren't coming to the church building. So what do? Do we sit at home and do we just hope and pray that they come to church, or do we go to them? This is what hire is about, is bringing the gospel to them and the truth to them.
Great. Thanks, mate. Great. Thanks, Marv. So you can imagine the fact that you turn up thinking you've got maths for a double period, and then you've got these guys in front of you doing some of their stuff. That's pretty cool, right? That's a good school day. But Hire has got a vision to go across all of the UK. So Manchester is this year. Next year, we're going to be in the Midlands. We're going to be in approximately 75 to 100 high schools in front of about 50,000 young people. We're going on to South Wales, the back end of 18. We're going up into the valleys, all the forgotten areas. Again, we're reckoning that we're going to get into somewhere around 60 to 70 high schools there. The beginning of 2019, this is the behemoth that's already started. We've already got someone on the ground working. This one is Yorkshire. As any of you who are from Yorkshire know, apparently it's God's chosen place in the world. Only the Lord dwells there. We thought the message it was Manchester for a while, but then Yorkshire came along, headbutted us and said, no, it's in Yorkshire, mate. And basically, we're going to be over 100 schools, seeing probably over 100,000 young people in one tour. Here's the thing about what we did last year. We saw 45,000 young people without a hire tour. We didn't do a hire tour last year. The hire tour alone that we did the year before saw 35,000 young people. So quick bit of maths. If we're going to do 2 hire tours in a year plus a bit extra, we've worked out that this year we're going to be in front of somewhere around about 150,000 young people. As we build through 18 to 19 and on to 20, we are fully expecting that with the new bands that we're looking to create, the new resource we're trying to build, that we're going to be in front of over 500,000 young people by 2020. That is our passion. That is our strategy. That is our drive as we plant our hubs, as we expand our work as the message, as we partner with church, as we root ourselves in good communities. We're going to do it together because it's our work. So what's happening in our city? Manchester, Higher Manchester, 17th of November. We're in Victoria Warehouse. If you've got a young person, if you've got young people in your family, if you've got young people you're connected to, please, would you get them along to this event? Hook or by crook. The best ask is always the McDonald's ask. Take them to McDonald's before or after. I can guarantee you, you'll get them there. Okay, it's simple. That's Youth Work 101. I made a career out of it for 10 years. Do you know what I mean? It's what expenses sheet. McDonald's, Costa, McDonald's, Costa, Dunkin' Donuts. Do you know what I mean? That's what we do. So anyway, get some young people down there. Please, please, please. And if you want to just come and check it out, why don't you come along to the Message Conference, which is running at the same time. Come and sit up in the balcony and just see God do some amazing stuff in youth culture and pray for us and expect God to move. So that's Manchester. We've already got 17 schools booked. We're looking to go into somewhere around 25, 30 high schools, and it's all looking great. So I hope I've whet the appetite. I hope I've got you excited. So if you can look inside this, I want to explain a core value to us. And it is all about partnership. It really is. And it's best that you see it here. As the Higher Tour, as we go to do the largest youth mission for a generation, we have to get greater partnership. We have to figure out how to set young people up well in churches. So what we've done is we've spent an awful lot of money and time and effort designing three main things. Number one, we designed Higher Sessions. Higher Sessions is some videos and some discipleship resources that we can give away to youth leaders and to wannabe youth leaders, to volunteers, passionate curates, passionate church leaders, anybody, that they can just pick it up and run it and engage with youth culture. There's six sessions based on the foundations of faith. We are literally had to strip it right back because youth culture doesn't know anything about who Jesus is. So this is like the pre-alpha alpha. Even alpha is too far for some of these young people. Secondly, technology. We can't run the largest youth mission for a generation without some sort of awesome piece of technology that is just screaming out at the young people, screaming out for them, here's your church, here's your community, here's your follow-up, get there. So we've designed an app, and the app obviously is free to download for the young people and engages them in the world that you know. When I started doing youth work, it was all about the table tennis table and the pool table. Round the world, and everyone's charging round, and it's great. By the time I finished, it was all about sitting in threes and fours, all playing on one phone, and maybe the youth would have to drag them to the table tennis table. The world has changed, people. And where do we need to be? Right in there, on that screen, interacting with them, spending time with them there, challenging them to go to church. And finally, we wrote the Bible. But let me be clear, we didn't actually write the Bible, because that's heretical. And someone should have come and rugby tackled me when I said that. What we did is we skinned up the NLT copy of the Bible. We put 20 color pages at the start to help young people get into it. I don't know about you, but navigation is a real issue. Understanding what this is all about is sometimes a challenge. So at the start, we did it through pictures and through simple text to say, this whole book tells you about God. Start to finish. The bits we like, the bits we don't like. The bits we understand, the ones we don't understand. It all tells you who your God is and who you are in his story and how you fit and how you actually have a firm foundation. And you find it in here. And you find it in the church. And you find it in a relationship with Jesus. So I remember growing up in a Church of England church that had those massive lecterns. You know, the golden eagles? Mine had one of those gold, few nods around the room. We were the golden eagle church. And we had the Bible the size of like an A3 folding. And it went thaboom every time it fell over. Yeah, we know those Bibles. They had thumb cuts for every book. But here's the thing. Where do you start even on that? So we've just put five really simple thumb cuts down the side saying, get into the Gospels first. Get into Mark. Fast paced. It's Jesus. Then go to Acts. Read that, consume it. Be blown away what the people of God can do. Don't forget that you're created for purpose. God created you and he knitted this whole thing together. So you've got to understand Genesis. But of course, you've got a relationship to facilitate. You've got to learn how to pray. You've got to learn how to lament. You've got to learn how to worship. Psalms, what better? And then finally, of course, the best book, Ephesians. That's because I took liberties. It was my project and I love it. So fast-paced, letter, how to live as a Christian, crack on. And then the church can take over the rest. Because we want young people, and we've had stories of young people being given these, because we give these out at every event. If anyone shows any interest or wants to get saved, we say, have one of these. Just have it. It's a giveaway. And in a year and a half, we've given away 10,000 copies of these, and we've got 8,000 on their way to us for Higher Manchester and on into next year. I believe that we're going to be giving away hundreds of thousands of Bibles. So discipleship is right at the heart, and partnership's essential. So how can you get involved? It's quite simple, really. This form tells you the ways to get involved. Firstly, this is not our work, is it? This is Jesus' work. This is a move of his spirit. I'm not standing here sold out on this vision because I want to sell you something or I want to have a nice life. Because I tell you what, it's our graft doing this stuff. A lot of early starts, a lot of time on the M6. Like, this stuff isn't always easy. But the reason I'm so committed to it is because I believe we are fostering something of what God is saying to the nation and what he's saying to us as church. And we need to pray. And I know you guys know how to pray as life. I mean, look at the building we're in. This came out of prayer. Look at our teams as we partner them out. We know how to pray. So please, can you fill out your details and just tick the I want to pray box today? And we're just going to email you once a month and keep you up to speed with what's going on. And can you pray for us? Can you commit to pray for us as we go across the UK? Can you do that? Number two, this is the old form, I think. So it's actually got that I want to book a higher missions team. It should say I want to volunteer through higher. So my apologies, I think I put the wrong box in. But what we want is we want people to volunteer, to come and get involved in their church youth works. And we want to have people on the response teams at the events. But also, you've heard testimonies of guys from this church who are doing stuff to help facilitate this. And we want Life Church to be at the heart of our prisons ministries, our reading teams, and all this as we partner together to reach the hardest to reach. And then finally, you probably figure out where I'm going next, is that actually this stuff does cost money. I unashamedly say it costs money. Hire Manchester's going to cost us about £65,000 to do. The vision for Hire over the next couple of years is around about the 300,000 mark. If we're going to hit the 500,000, we're going to double that. So somewhere between 500,000 to 500,000 to £600,000 that we're going to need to reach an entire nation. And we believe that with the opportunities we've already got, the things that are already in motion, that we've got a really good shot of doing this. So we'd love for you to consider, can you support? And £15 a month puts us in front of a young person that covers all the costs. It covers the band's time. It covers the Bible to give away. It covers the session development. It covers all the networking to get the churches involved. It covers all the leadership and governance and all the charity stuff that we have to do by law as a charity based in the UK. And that £15 will get us in front of a young person that can hear the gospel. That will just get them from a school's day into an event, that will give them a Bible in their hand, that will give them a sessions guide, that will give them a church. That's what that £15 a month will do. But I said it's about partnerships. So if you sign up today for financial regular support, we want to give you a whole bunch of stuff. First of all, we want to give you a copy of the Bible to give away or to keep or to hand down to a young person that you know. We want to give you a copy of the Vital Signs CD. These guys are amazing. Again, keep it and have your ears bleed in your car. Or give it away to a young person that needs to hear something that's relevant, something that's engaging. Carl Beach is one of our senior leaders. He's actually our new deputy CEO. And he wrote a book about the Beatitudes called The Way. It's brand spanking new. It's just come out. And we want to give that to you as we're believers, we're lovers of the Word of God. And we believe we've got to be in a lifestyle of discipleship. And the Beatitudes is a great way to live. And it's all about living out the Beatitudes today. You might remember as well, there's a little guy, he's not that little, he's quite tall, Andy Hawthorne. Some of you might have heard of him, and one of his books as well, Hope Unleashed. So if you feel like you can support today, that is what we're asking. Can you pray? Could you volunteer? Or could you stand with us financially as we go and reach an entire nation? So please, as we go through, if you could be mulling that over and thinking that over, and please don't leave today without filling out that form. We've got to stand at the back, and we want to talk to you a little bit more about what we do. And if you've signed up, we'd love to give you a pack. So there you go. That's Hire in a nutshell. As you can see, I'm quite passionate about it. I'm quite committed to it. I think it's kind of a big deal, and I think it's really important that we as a church figure it out. And I want to thank the leadership team here as well, as you've designated the message as one of your charities and ministries that you want to support. So as a message member, I want to say thank you so much. You have numerous staff members amongst, you have myself, you've got Matt, you've got Chris, there's Meg, there's Emily Burt, I think it's on kids. You've got four academies that have just started that are sat over there. They're brand spanking new. You've got Joe, who's an intern here. I've just got Vital Signs here today. I've forgotten someone. Timmy Arnold's in the prisons, but he's just about to leave us. We don't care about him anymore. Apparently, this whole Ibiza thing is kind of a big deal, apparently. No, we love Tim. He's amazing. And, of course, there's been plenty of people that have come through the message. So thank you for a message. It's a bit weird doing this on both sides, but thank you from a message perspective. You've got Andy and Carl in the diary of the next 2 years to come and do, just to come and preach and to bring something of the message. So we want to partner with you guys as a church. So please, if you can partner and support in any way, please get involved. So, how does that apply to us though? How does that actually apply to us as disciples, as individuals, as people sat here today? Well, if I get my next slide, there's something in the Bible that talks about the signs of the times. There's this theme that runs through Scripture about we have to discern what the Spirit is doing. You have to You have to discern more, Lord. Thank you. You have to discern what the Lord is saying. You have to discern what the time is. You know, you had to discern that there's a time to build an ark. And if you look at the Bible, there's a time where there's time to build an ark, and there's time to retreat, and there's time to jump on that boat. There's also times when it was time to advance, and it was time for the armies of God to fly through a nation. There was times when it was to sit down and to reflect with a woman at a well and to pour one-on-one. There's signs, there's times, there's things that are going on. We have to discern what is happening. We have to see what is going on around us. And as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Jesus, that is our call, is to discern the times and to follow it wholeheartedly. I want to share two statistics with you from youth culture. The first statistic is this. Next slide, please. In 2014, there were 22,653 under 18 pregnancies. 50% of them led to an abortion. If that happened in North Korea, if we heard of something like that happening, someone like that, someone would have pressed a big red button attached to something pretty violent, and something would have happened. But yeah, that's happening in our nation under our watch. Relationships are falling apart. People don't know how to connect to one another. People don't know their own identity. They don't know their own worth. And it's coming out in horrendous statistics like that. We have a team called Respect Me that go into schools and we deliver lessons to try and re-educate young people. But the issue's bigger, isn't it? The issue's bigger than just youth culture. That statistic starts in youth culture and spills into, you've only got to see around the playground, which is a whole new world for me as we drop Esme off at reception, to see the broken relationships, to see the struggles as one parent drops off, one parent picks up, to the child that doesn't know whether they're coming or going. We live in a broken, a fractured, and a disconnected society, don't we? That's a sign of the times. Yet as a church, we have a different message. We talk about unity. We talk about connection. We talk about God knitting us together for purpose. Here's another sign of the time. Let's slide, please, Ian. Up to 90% of people, globally, living with a disability have never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. 90% of the global population who have a disability, seen and unseen, have never heard the gospel. That's insane. We've got a team called Enable that is trying to change that. John's got cerebral palsy, called us an evangelist to go and change that statistic. It's a beautiful ministry. That's our response. But I actually think what it speaks to is we don't like people that don't look like ourselves. I think that statistic speaks to a sign of the times that is actually, if they don't look like us, we don't like them. If they don't walk like us, talk like us, think like us, we struggle with them. And what we do is we hide the gospel, we hide the good news that we have inside our own little world, inside our own little communities, and we don't worry about people because we're afraid to go. We're afraid of offense. And we live in a political culture and a society that says, oh, you might offend, so don't say anything. You might get it wrong. You might embarrass them. Or really, you'll embarrass yourself. Because guess what? If you get it wrong, what do you have to do? You have to apologize instantly. And that's how you avoid offense. And that's what John tells young people about. But let's be honest, it's a society issue, isn't it? We don't like people that are like ourselves. And when we talk about Eccles as a church, when we talk about Hill Green, these are different communities to ourselves. And even on our own doorstep, as Marv was saying, just over that road is an entire estate that looks very different to what's around Sale Grammar. Do you see what I'm getting at? That is a sign of the times. We have a fractured and a broken world. Next slide, please. We're going to go to Luke 15. You got your Bibles? So Luke 15. This is when all the Welsh people get excited. There's a picture of sheep. I was just trying to lighten the mood a bit. I thought it got a bit intense there. Okay, so Luke 15. The parable for the Welsh and the lost sheep. Verse 3. 15, verse 3. I'm reading for NIV. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, that's one sinner who repents, than over 99 righteous people, persons who do not need to repent. I find this incredibly challenging when I read this, because I know for youth culture that we have 5% of youth culture would say they're Christians. So therefore we have 5 sheep in the pen and 95 out on the hill somewhere or jumping into a ditch or needing saving. So this parable doesn't ring true to me anymore. The words that Jesus spoke doesn't make sense. And I also know that's true for culture around me. When I talk to people on the playground, when I get to know people at school, there's a prevailing culture that says, I'm not interested in your God. I'm not interested in church. I'm not interested in understanding who Jesus is. I just don't care. I literally am just apathetic. I just can't be bothered. I'm lazy. It doesn't affect me. And I think it's because we've been thinking for too long as a church that we have 99 in the pen and actually we've only got one person to go after. And actually, I think the sign of the times is this is all flipped around. I think there's a few in the pen and we've got to go after the many. But here's the beautiful thing that still rings true. The one person that repents, the individual story, the one person that says, I want to follow Jesus. There is rejoicing. There is celebration. There is a party. I just see heaven pulling out the confetti and kind of like all the angels in their cool little like onesies are like jumping around. They're all high-fiving. And they're kind of, again, super excited around the dinner table. Like, did you see Sid? He just said he got burnt. It was us. We did it. This is awesome. Sid saved. He's in prison. He's hanging out with Paul. That's okay. Paul's a good guy. He's sorted. That's what I see going on in heaven when that happens. They celebrate, but we've got to change our mindset. We've got to go after the many, but we've got to hold in tension this individual story of actually one person we celebrate. But lots of ones makes up tens. Lots of tens makes up 100. Lots of hundreds, thousands, and thousands, 10,000s. So as a church, yes, we're called to individuals. I believe as a church here, actually, we're called to thousands. I believe this is a significant church in a significant city that's got an amazing vision, that's trying to roll out missional small groups, that's trying to roll out multi-site, that's trying to roll out engaging in different communities. I think we as a church have this in our DNA. It's just we're stoking the fire. We're praying. We're anointing people. We're trying to see a move of God. But we've got to understand there are so many people out there that don't know him. And we need to have a rejoicing culture that says one person came in. Yes! Let's get the confetti cannon. Can we buy a confetti cannon? They're awesome. You like push them and the confetti goes everywhere. I can hear Andy Chard just being like, why would you say that, Tom? I've got to clean up the center. But here's the thing. All of this starts with us, doesn't it? I can interpret the scripture however we want about reaching people and celebration, but it's us. We are the church. We are his people. And it all starts with a transformed heart. It all starts with the change and transforming of us. Go to my next slide. And here's the thing. I think as we transform ourselves, as we allow ourselves to be circumcised in our heart, is the way it talks about in the Bible. Now, I learned about circumcision from my mother holding a pizza cutter. She ran the youth group I was a part of. And of course, as a young person, you're trying to get the youth leader off balance. The weird thing is, it's your mum. And you haven't really thought through the full consequences of this. So the week before, he said, oh yeah, why don't you teach us about circumcision? Ha ha ha, she's not going to do it. Of course, my mum called my bluff. And in front of all my friends, whipped out a pizza cutter, told us about circumcision and said the words, who wants to know what it feels like? My mum's awesome. I love her very much. But here's the thing. There's a theme in the Bible that starts in Deuteronomy about the fear of the Lord and the transforming of a heart that goes through into Colossians and talks about the passion, the transforming of somebody's individual heart that causes them to go out, that causes them to be changed. We can't hear the good news of the gospel. You can't hear this stuff and just go, oh, great, they're talking about Jesus. No. We're talking about the Jesus that we know. We have a relationship with him. We're excited about him. We care a lot about him. And I know as a church that we care a lot about him too. And as a church, we are deeply passionate about Jesus. But we need to go to a deeper level of having our hearts cut. That when we hear that youth culture is down the pan, we say, we're going to pray, we're going to give, and we're going to volunteer. When we stand up and say, Hill Green needs some volunteers, we're saying, we need to go, we need to take the gospel, and we have to get there. When Eccles is saying, you know what, we're running a kids club for some hard-to-reach young people, there's a chance you might get egged. We go, fine, it's only an egg. I haven't got someone chasing me with a sword. I haven't got someone trying to take my house. And I haven't got someone oppressing me. I might get an egg. Let's go. That's what it's about. That's what we're called to. And that's what this church is about. We just have to allow ourselves to be cut to our core. Because one transformed life that's actually transformed, that's cut to its core, doesn't just stop at one. Because that life lives something different, speaks something different, and that life leads to other lives being transformed. Nick was a nuisance. But then God grabbed him and he became a missionary. I was an arrogant wazzock. Still am. No, I was one, and God grabbed me and humbled me and has put me towards the call that God's put on our lives, on my life. And I believe that's what he wants to do with every single one. But it's a transformed life that goes out and takes the good news. And a transformed life is what we're looking for when we do our work and our ministry. Can I get the last slide up? So the problem is, if you take Jesus out of everything, higher tours are nothing but concerts and vain exercises of self-promotion. The Life Center here is a beautiful, very expensive mortgage and facility that basically delivers hospitality. Our Sunday mornings are an average social club with good coffee. And it's a coffee morning. And our lives are nothing but a fleeting moment in eternity with no purpose and no legacy. Because everything will go to pot. Everything. You're not going to take anything with you. Like when we finish our days and we've run our race, nothing's going with us except for people. Souls, souls, souls. That's all we got. Yes, we're going to pass our money on to our kids. Yes, we're called to be a good steward. Yes, we're called to mobilize stuff. But it's got to be rooted in souls. Because if you put Jesus into the higher tours, they're concerts and they're large and they draw people towards the cross in a way that they would never hear before because they're switched off to God. And they hear a gospel and they repent and they believe and their hearts are transformed. If the Life Center team and what goes on here has Jesus and transformed lives at the core of it, our facility and our hospitality and what we're doing for the community actually will breed transformation, actually will see lives transformed. The warm welcome people receive will get them thinking, this is a church? Jesus is doing what in my city? He was that head blown. Our Sunday mornings are not a social club. It's a launch pad for the rest of the week. It's a firing up of us remembering that the cross has changed us and we need to go and change the people that we spend our days with. Be it in the workplace, be it in our family, school gate, wherever we are, we're called to make a difference. And our lives have meaning in eternity and are no longer fleeting but have eternal consequences. And that is what the cross does. That is what Jesus does. That is why it matters. And we can't just do cuddly social work. We can't do great community work. We have to do that with the cross. We have to do that with Jesus. And we are called to do it as a church. We're called to do it as the message. And we are called to do it as disciples. Day in, day out. And it's what we're about. It's who we are as disciples. It's who you are. Now, yes, you might not be shouty, a bit evangelistic and full of passion like we are as the message. But you're still in love with Jesus. And I believe we're called to reach different people and change different communities. And I believe that wherever you are, you have a message to bring if you allow yourself to be transformed by Jesus. The band, do you want to come up? We're going to take communion as our final act today. Because it's all about Jesus. We're going to sing a song, take communion, and then go and get the kids. It's as simple as that. Why? Because Jesus turns darkness into light, sorrow into hope, brokenness into beauty, and death into life. And as we watch the video for Higher Manchester, and as we consider the cross, as we consider Jesus, can I get the picture of Jesus back up? As we worship him, can we allow our hearts to be transformed? Can we come again to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, you're my savior. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, there is no one like you. And here's the thing. I haven't really got a plan because I think we as a church can do this together. Do it in pairs. Do it in your life groups. Do it on your own. Just respond to the cross. respond to the transformation that's going on in your own life. And if you've never done this before, if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, take the communion as your act and then come and find me or Matt at the end and tell us that you've done it. Because this is your saying to God, I'm laying down my life. Should we jump to our feet? Church. Jesus, we thank you for your cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that you saved us. Thank you that you called us. You're an amazing God, and we love you. And I pray that as we take communion, as we sing this final song, Lord, I pray that you would transform our hearts, that you would transform us as individuals, and that we would live a transformed life. In your mighty name, amen. So please, communion tables are out. Take your, do it however you'd like. The band are going to lead us.